Hello, and welcome to Medical Fun Facts, episode 51, Genital Infections. Tonight's episode is dropping on Monday, the 27th of March, 2017. And before I start this rambling on genital infections, I'd like to thank new subscribers to the podcast. I'm very grateful that people take a few minutes out of their busy schedules to listen to this lighthearted show featuring a few facts, some of which are fun. If you're new and you haven't listened to previous shows, Medical Fun Facts is currently in its second series, where series is a very loose term to describe how I'm grouping the shows. The first series was a run through the alphabet, where I would choose a topic based on a run through of my ABCs. This second series has a diagnostic theme, with one or two extracurricular shows as a result of listener feedback and questions. If you'd like me to feature something on Medical Fun Facts, please send me an email via the contact page on the blog at drgarylum.com/blog. So let's dive into genitals. Diagnosing genital infections has a lot of overlap with sexually transmitted infections. But not all genital infections, however, are transmitted by sexual contact. For example, yeast infections in men and women, as well as balanitis in men who have no concept of penis hygiene, don't necessarily get transmitted sexually. For the life of me, I cannot understand why some men don't clean themselves properly and don't clean under their foreskins. Cheesy smegma can't be something a bloke wants to encourage, especially if he wants any sexual action. This point was a special one for Lauren from Mouthy Broadcast, and if you follow my other blog at garydlum.com, you'll see that there's a competition over at that amazing podcast, Mouthy Broadcast. This explanation won't be complete, but I'm going to go through some basics of genital infections. In men, it's pretty simple. You collect a swab specimen from wherever the infection is. If there are herpetic vesicles in the head or shaft of the penis, or hidden in pubic hair or around the anus, these days most people would make a diagnosis by PCR. If a bloke has abused his penis and he has what looks like a pyogenic infection, then a swab for microscopy and culture is in order. I remember one bloke who, after anal sex with his girlfriend, wouldn't clean himself, and he wondered why the shaft of his penis was covered in sores. He hadn't heard of lubrication either, so there were friction abrasions getting infected. When there is a urethral discharge, a swab for microscopy and culture should always be collected. If an asymptomatic man is just interested in knowing his gonorrhea and chlamydia status, then a first void urine for PCR is best. For genital warts, there's usually no need to try to confirm that the wart is due to human papillomavirus, and they tend to be burnt off using cryotherapy. Don't do this at home, though, with the head of a match, or do-it-yourself dry ice treatment, please. Yeast infections are usually identified with microscopy and culture from a swab specimen, and clinically, because yeast infections, especially candidiasis, has a distinctive appearance. In women, it's important to appreciate the healthy vagina is a self-cleaning organ that is quite complex in terms of anatomy. The vagina is not a cul-de-sac. There is an external opening at the vulva, and the uterine cervix opens into the vagina. The uterus also has open connections into the peritoneal cavity via the uterine or fallopian tubes. In addition, the epithelium or skin on the inside changes. The cervix is lined with columnar epithelium, which is quite delicate, while the remainder of the vagina is lined with stratified squamous epithelium. So it's tough, like the skin on the outside, except there are no hair follicles. Well, let's hope there are no hair follicles. Certain bacteria have an affinity for columnar epithelium. For example, the bacteria that cause gonorrhea and chlamydia tend to infect the cervix and urethra rather than the lining of the vagina. And this has implications for diagnosis. In women without an obvious discharge, and if growing gonococcus is important to get antimicrobial resistance information, then the cervix and urethra should be sampled. In asymptomatic women, first void urine can be used for PCR diagnosis of gonorrhea and chlamydia, similar to what happens in asymptomatic men. Vesicular lesions should be swabbed for herpes simplex virus PCR, and any obvious pyogenic infection on or around the vulva should also be swabbed for microscopy and culture. Vaginal infections, apart from gonorrhea and chlamydia, include trichomoniasis, thrush or candidiasis, and bacterial vaginosis. A swab for microscopy and culture should be collected for these conditions. In trichomoniasis, PCR is now available, but the motile parasite, Trichomonas vaginalis, can be identified in microscopy of a wet preparation from a swab. Yeast cells from thrush are really easy to see in a Gram stain, as well as a wet preparation, while bacterial vaginosis is mostly a clinical and microscopic diagnosis, with culture now no longer recommended. Needless to say, genital health is really important. You need to look at your bits and keep them in good working order. If you have any concerns, see your doctor. Don't go and see a naturopath or a homeopath or a chiropractor or an acupuncture practitioner or a dry needling practitioner. Herbs, water, genital manipulation and needles, whether they be hollow or not, will not diagnose or treat your genital infection. Only a fair dinkum proper doctor or trained nurse practitioner can do that. The rest is witchcraft. And so ends another episode of Medical Fun Facts. You can find the show notes for every episode at my blog, drgarrylum.com/blog. You can find updates at the Facebook page. Medical Fun Facts is available in the iTunes podcast store and also on Stitcher. If you disagree with anything in these podcasts, or if you would like to voice a different view, please feel free to write a comment. And if I've said anything incorrect, I welcome correction. Please also feel free to share your comments on social media. Thank you and good night.